Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go!
Bingetown, how we feeling today? It's Thursday. It's a great day. We got some football. We got some Rick and Morty coverage coming your way. We got me, Dave, your host. We got Paul. We got B-Toms. We got a good squad today with a great episode of Rick and Morty. Final Desmithation. I totally butchered that, but it's supposed to be a play on Final Destination. I just don't know how to pronounce words. But I honestly thought this episode was fucking incredible. I don't know what it was. I was just sitting there watching this episode and I was like, this is amazing. We get great comedy. We get the genius of the creators of Rick and Morty here with just how well they played this episode. And I texted Paul like right after I was done watching. I was like, besides all of like the villain Rick and evil Morty episodes, I think this might have been my favorite one-off solo episode of Rick and Morty. In recent memory, but I was fucking loving this episode. I don't know how you guys felt. Let's hear your thoughts on this episode.
I absolutely loved it. It's one of my favorite. I don't think I loved it as much as you did, Dave, but it's definitely up there. It's probably like top 15, top 20, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That'd be a really hard list to make, but there's something super compelling about it. I mean, it's a Rick and Jerry episode, so fucking gold right from the get-go. And something about like eating the cookies to get random power-ups is like really cool and intriguing too. And the way that they can predetermine destiny, it was genius writing. Even though it's all taking place on like the organs of an alien, it was still really, really interesting and cool. So I loved it.
The fortune cookie power-ups were definitely a highlight of the episode, and in Rick and Morty style, they got super creative with the abilities that they gave people. So that was pretty cool. But I guess I'm the odd man out here because I was pretty... It's Rick and Morty, never a bad episode, but you hold it up to that standard. And I thought it was averaged slightly below average for where the mark is for Rick and Morty.
That's good to have these conflicting thoughts on the episodes just so everyone can get our opinions on it. That's crazy. I love this episode. I love it. We get so much good action and so many great jokes. I was perfect.
Definitely some good high moments. I loved when the family was making fun of Jerry in the beginning of the episode. Maybe it was because it was like a Jerry and Rick adventure, which can go either way. But I've also been pretty high on Jerry recently. So I don't know why I wasn't in love with this episode like you guys are. But like I said, Rick and Morty, never a bad episode. So it's still great television.
It's just Jerry making an ass of himself constantly, and us kind of like laughing at him. Like we talk about the really cool Jerry's, like the one that survived the apocalypse and in the Cronenberg one, and like he was a beast. And then we got this Jerry who's just trying to do everything he can not to fuck his mom and like failing at it. It was so funny. He gets so nervous
I'll let B-Toms run us through it because I have some good comments about the early scenes, I guess.
Yeah. So speaking of just Jerry being typical Jerry, the episode starts out hot. The Smiths are at Panda Express. And the first line of the episode is just like Jerry saying, "Chow mein." And he's like, if you think that's racist, ask how the waiter does it. And Beth quips back, it's a Panda Express. The waiter's from Portland. So... Episode starts out hot and Rick sits at the table and he's like, who the hell changed my ringtone to the theme from Taxi? That gets us started on the taxi talk. How Morty and Summer just kind of tried to educate him on taxi talk, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, they're referencing TikTok and everything. They're going live constantly and Rick doesn't give a fuck, but they're like, you know, it's for a good cause though. It's like every dollar gets donated to the leukemia or some whatever they were saying. And of course, I thought it was weird, though, that they opened this episode with everybody shitting on Jerry, because at the end of last episode, it kind of ended on like a high of everyone kind of had a higher standard for Jerry, I guess, if I'm remembering that correctly. So I was like a little weirded out that we just got immediately thrown into them shitting on Jerry, which I'm always in for.
Jerry Whiplash.
Yeah, that's just the default family dynamic, though.
I guess true. Yeah, I mean that high moment for Jerry's only going to last so long before the family just brings him back down and just shits on him.
And they're talking about going to the zoo. And we learned that Jerry eats the zebra food. And they're like, Jerry, you're supposed to feed the animals. It's not for you. And he's like, well, why is it in gumball containers? It's just so funny. Is this before? I mean, I guess this is right at the table. This is when they get their cookies. And then Summer's like, you know, you got to eat it first. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either for fortune cookies.
I never
cookies.
Heard that, but very but important I think, for the episode, at least.
I think I at least do that, though. If I have a fortune cookie, always eat the cookie first and then read the fortune, right? Is that how you guys do it? If you can imagine yourself?
I don't know. Either way, I'm always eating the cookie. If I'm breaking it to get the fortune, I'm eating that cookie. Exactly. But yeah, so they all get their fortunes and... going around the family, it's like, you will make a friend today. Like, something will make you smile. The most generic fortune cookies. And then it gets to Jerry. And it just says, you will fuck your mom.
and
like, the entire restaurant goes dead silent and just looks at him. And Morty, everyone's like, hold on a sec.
We get the Morty, like, limp lips. Again, that classic, yeah. Iconic Rick and Morty face. So good. When I'm watching this, I'm like, how are we going to get to the point where Jerry is actually going to fuck his mom? Because they mentioned it, you know it's going to happen, or at least be a huge topic of the episode. And I'm like, how are we going to get there? Like, if Jerry knows that he's going to do this, like, how are they going to drive it home? So great start.
So good. It's so funny. And the whole family, too, is like, dude, like, be happy. You got the last cool fortune cookie in the world. Like, yeah. Be happy about it instead of freaking out. And then later at home, you know, he's in bed with Beth and he's like, oh my God, still freaking out about it. Should I throw up the cookie? Would that make it less likely to happen? And Beth is like, dude, if it'll make you happy, then go do it. And oh my God, what a callback this was. He's in there trying to pull a trigger. He can't do it. He goes, sleepy Gary ruined my gag reflex. Oh my God.
I was like, mic drop. I couldn't believe that that was even going to be relevant at all. So amazing.
Straight from season 2. It was the virus. I can't remember the name of the episode, but it's the one where you can't do flashbacks, because when you do flashbacks, the parasite will reproduce. It was perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
Even A1 with the callbacks this season. Absolutely. Like, references out the wazoo. And I've been loving every second of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, Sleepy Gary ruined the gag reflex, so Jerry just spends the entire night in paranoia, increasingly getting more anxiety over this mom situation, which brings us to the next morning where he presents himself to the family and they all just start relentlessly ribbing on him, being like, oh, so now this might happen. It's not just like a fortune that's out here. Now it's a possibility. And they're all just laughing at him. And I just appreciated how candid this scene was. I'm sure it was just the actors like talking shit on him. But yeah, so funny.
It was gold, man. I love that. This the quote you said was just so perfect when he's like, guys, like, we got to figure this out. Like, I might fuck my mom. And they were like, might. Like, come on. Like, you're gonna speak it into existence at this point. It was so beautiful, man. I was like, once we got here, I was like, I'm so into this episode. I knew this was gonna be it.
He's like, stop laughing. And they're like, we're only laughing because you're taking it so seriously. Like, it was a random cookie. And then, like, he's getting phone calls and texts from his mom.
Yeah. So now it's starting to become a self-fulfilling thing because she's starting to call. He's like, why is she calling? She never calls. They're like, because you're ducking her text, man. What else is she going to do? So he's just like working himself up. And then that leads into this montage because they set up at the Panda Express that they're going to the zoo. So it's this montage between the breakfast table and when they go to the zoo, and Summer walks in and sees Jerry like taping his dick back to try and prevent it. And then Morty and Summer like Photoshop his mom's face over like a stripper's body and send it to him. And then there's a scene where there's like a dummy in the closet that they lock Jerry in there with. So it's literally just Morty and Summer bullying their dad that he's gonna bang his mom.
I love that.
Okay, talking about this makes me like this episode a lot more.
I also love that Jerry's just like, Rick, like, can't you do science stuff to like make the probability of this happen like less? And Rick's, of course, like, no, that's ridiculous. This is science. And he probably could have done something, which he does technically.
Absolutely.
But,
yeah.
But so funny. Also, with the closet thing, I love that Morty and Summer knew that if they kept bullying Jerry, he was going to run and hide in his closet. So they put the doll there ahead of time.
So true.
And then just like held it locked shut when he tried to get out, which Genius. Was just beautiful.
Genius. Kids bullying their dad.
And then like, oh my God. Comedy. So they're ready to go to the zoo. You know, Beth trying to get like Jerry to stop freaking out. And she pulls Jerry out of the front door and he's dressed like Morty. And Summer's like, why are you dressed like Morty? Because Morty's mom is Beth. And I'm trying to, yeah. So if I fuck my mom and I'm Morty, I'll really just be fucking Beth.
I'm not unpacking that.
Yeah, Morty's and, like, nah, I'm not dealing with this.
By the way, how about Space Beth making another appearance? Just very casual, too. So I think she's going to be a regular.
I was totally wrong. I said at the end of, last episode when they were a couple that we weren't going to see her for the rest of the season. I thought back to back was going to be it, but now they're bringing her in. So yeah, B thumbs totally agree. She could be like the sixth character now, mm-hmm. fifth or sixth. Sixth.
Yeah. And so Rick, we find out he's making an excuse. He's just like, oh, wait a second. My gizmo's flagging Jerry for probability. You guys better go to the zoo while I check him out. And he kind of drops the act for a second, pulls him inside. He's like, I never turned the machine on, but I don't want to see someone get bullied into going to the zoo. You may be the single dumbest human I've ever met, but you still have a right to take whatever you want seriously. I respect that from Rick, honestly. Like, he was just being real with Jerry. He doesn't want to see someone get bullied like that. But then he turns on the machine and he's like, oh shit, okay, now that I have you, Jerry, why don't we test out this theory? And that takes us to the hole in the box scene.
Yeah, he's like, there's no correlation, but let's just also at the same time, let's just hang out for a second. Let's test some things out. Yeah. And Jerry, of course, is like, yeah, sure, like, fuck it, why not?
Of course, he said, you know, I wrote your mother's name in one box. Which box? Stick your dick in the box and we'll find out if it's the real one with your mom's name in it or not. He's like, well, okay, you don't have to stick your dick in the box, just say which one. Mm-hmm. And Jerry going, I would put my penis in the right, I would put my penis in the left.
One time he says, I would take out my penis and put it in the box. Like, he's just making it so weird.
Yeah, and he's like, dude, you don't need to say penis every time, just say left or right. And yeah, of course, he's getting it right every single time, or at least we assume, because Rick is like, dude, this is improbable.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm going to just take it right from you because I like how he tests it on himself. He's like, oh, like it's working fine because there's an equal probability that I shit a balloon versus I don't even remember what the second
become part a
was.
Dolphin.
Yeah. Or become a dolphin. Jerry's and like, then wait, he just both says, of those are probable. And he's like, well, equally probable. And then he flashes Jerry.
He
like,
says, shit. Anything is as likely as anything else, which is weird why it's likely that you are. It's not equally likely that you're going to bang your mom. So like now Rick's like, damn.
And now she's getting the text messages and Jerry's reading them. He's like, oh my God, now she wants to come visit. Like, this is getting worse and worse. So Rick's like, I'm going to tell you something I've never told anyone before. We need to go to Panda Express.
Let's go.
The timer's dropping down on the amount of time left before Jerry's going to fuck his mom.
And we get to Panda Express.
This scene.
And Rick's just laying it down. He's just like, whoever these people are have like God level powers. They're not worried about you. They're worried about me, obviously. What do you think I am? Like the stepfather in this show? No.
Yeah.
Fucking Rick.
And he's like, somebody's trying to get my attention. So when they pull up to Panda Express, he's like, if they wanted my respect, they should have just got a liquor license instead of like doing the probability of everything else.
Yes.
I love this fucking scene. Like, they just go into the Panda Express, right? They're like, Rick's breaking into the kitchen and they just all whip out these guns. And we get this. I thought this scene was incredible. Rick, he's using two guns that are like lasers and he's sliced. Yeah, they're like whip lasers and he's slicing people in three pieces, four pieces. Heads are flying. Like, people are getting shot left and right. Even the ship is partaking in some of the action. We get the ship firing.
Tells the ship to drop a sick track so we can fight these people. Did you guys know what the track was?
No, but I was expecting something different. Taxi? Yeah,
it is called Angela, the theme from Taxi.
There it is.
Yeah,
I totally was expecting a different song because I think in the trailer for season six, it's like actually a hard rock song that's playing. So I was actually expecting that hard rock song to play, but it was the softer music, and I was like, "This is different," but I like
it. Taxi.
Yeah, that makes more sense now to me. Yeah.
And he's like, "Ah, no wrong answers," and he goes in, and he starts tearing shit up. It's great.
And then kills everybody. Gets to the back room. Has them at gunpoint. Turns out they're just selling drugs. Have nothing to do with the fortune stuff. They're just like, oh my gosh, comes with the territory. Don't worry about it. They mend the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Took out his old team. And he's like, yeah, truck's in the back. Follow that. That's same place everybody gets their fortune cookies. So hop in the truck, and that takes us to Fortune 500.
I'll take the truck in return for not turning you in. And yeah. Sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, the people from Panda Express were like, oh, you're not DEA? He's like, no. He's like, oh. You guys are just, if you guys are breaking the law, like, that's fine. Like, rules are meant to be broken. Like, keep it like, up.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
I love that. I love that scene so much. And then this is where things get so wild from here on out. It's so crazy.
As soon as he opens that door from Panda Express, it just escalates.
Yep.
Yeah. Dude, so we get into Fortune 500. He looks around, and first they have to suit up. I mean, that literally, they got to get suits on. And he, like, he calls on something to get his suit, and then he initiates.
Before we even get there, it's like when they drive the truck into the Fortune 500 shop, like they get scanned, they get retina scanned as soon as they get in there. Of course, Rick already has his retinas like able to be changed, I guess, but then he just like throws these like spider bots to Jerry, and they just like crawl over his eyes, and then I guess it gives them the perception that they're different people with the retina scan. And then this is where they get to the suit swapping, which is I guess a call out to Sailor Moon, which I've never seen before.
Oh, 100%.
Rick's tech was out of this world this episode. He was all over the place.
That's one of the reasons why I really liked it, because the tech that we got displayed here was like amazing. Like, we saw Rick's like eyeball come out a little bit to do some surveillance.
They went far, and it was not only an eye, it was like there's cameras everywhere, like everything's a camera, like that tie, that napkin, that plant. And Jerry's like, well, why don't you shut him off? He's like, Jerry, shutting off 300 cameras would cause more attention than just changing clothes.
Yeah, and then we get the change clothes Sailor Moon reference, which was amazing. Like, I just love, even though I've never seen Sailor Moon, I always just get giddy at a Rick and Morty anime call out. It's just the best.
100%.
Stay woke.
So now that they're all suited up, they start doing a little sleuthing through this company. And the first thing they walk into is kind of this TED talk, it looks like, of a woman named Jenith Padrochent. We don't watch with subtitles, so I can't confirm that, but sounded like Jenith Padrochent. Bezos is there, Bill Gates is there, everybody important is there, and they're like, holy shit, this is a pretty big operation. But in the TED talk, she's like the typical white power suit, like self-realized businesswoman, just to paint you a picture. And her old TED talk is, fate isn't fiction, anything you want can be yours, just ask. They're like, okay, we're not going to get our answers here. So they keep going in. They see a business meeting where people are cracking open fortune cookies for promotions, like, oh, I'm getting a 10% raise, et cetera, et cetera. And then another dude gets a very specific fortune that he's going to get his genitals mangled in like an ice cream machine. And he's like, it's so specific to me. I know that ice cream machine. It's going to come true.
No one else listening will like know the reference, but like, I totally get it because it's me. Like, I know it. It's so good.
And Rick's like, holy shit, this is real. Like, they're manipulating fate for profit. And Jerry's like, good, we can just blow this place up. And Rick's like, hold the phone. Why don't we try and take them down in a way where we end up with their powers instead of just destroying it completely.
It's perfect.
This is where they try to escape, and the guards break open the fighting fortunes.
Perfect.
Go ahead, Paul.
I was just gonna say, more of the Rick Tech man. They as they're sleuthing around, he like holds up his hand and
It's like copy and paste from. It was like a.
It was like Photoshop.
Yeah,
it was like Photoshop. A hologram of like the Photoshop toolbar pops up, and he hits one, and then he paints them all to camouflage in. So fucking good, man.
And then of course when they break into the doors, now Rick's been rocking some Doc Ock arms. Apparently he's got like six of them popping out of him, and it's like, where did you get these? But of course he's always fiddling with himself. Not in that way.
the fighting fortunes were pretty hype when they just like broke him out of the glass and started giving Rick a fight. That was pretty good. But
you'll have great luck in a fight.
Yes.
And he's like, holy shit, they're leveling up, Jerry. We got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So Rick uses Jerry as a human shield, which is funny. And they escape through the vents. And the guards inform the TED Talk lady that they escaped. So that takes us to Rick and Jerry going through the vents.
I love that Rick explains to us that Jerry is pretty much now invincible because his fortune hasn't come true. So Jerry is invincible, cannot die because this fortune is now like his destiny. Like this has to happen. So there is no shot he's going to die before this happens, which was, love that concept so much of how, if you're in this, what did they call it? Like it wasn't limbo.
Unresolved fortune.
Yeah. If you're in an unresolved fortune, you just pretty much are immortal, which I thought was such a great twist to it, which makes sense. Yeah. Like if
I fucking loved it, man.
And that's why if you see when he's using Jerry as a human body shield, the bullets are just like whizzing by his head. Like he's perfectly not getting hit. It's amazing.
Yeah. And he explains this to Jerry in the vent, and Jerry still doesn't like it. But they also have, Rick has a great line where he's like, you know what, Jerry, fine. If it comes down to it, I'll put a bullet in her head. And Jerry's like, no. And he's like, oh, fuck, you're right. The fortune didn't say she needed to be alive. And I was like, oh, my God. That's amazing. It's true. It makes it so much worse.
This was such a, like, that was such a dark joke that I was like, we haven't seen that, like, darkness from Rick and Morty in a little bit. It's been mostly, like, a lot of action. This was so fucked up. This was one of their most fucked up episodes. It's getting there.
So Jerry tries to be cocky and it's just like, oh, does your screwdriver finger have a hex key? And Rick just uses his Doc Ock arm to thrust Jerry through the vent so they can get out. It's like,
yeah,
fuck you, Jerry. Know your place.
Yeah.
And that is like the main manufacturing room where they see this giant alien tied up to the wall. Of course, an alien is behind this, an alien's random powers, but it's a Ligurian. And I got it here. Ligurians eat chaos, but this one has a stomach disorder. Its stomach is stripping randomness from space-time and leaving behind super dense pockets of energy that bend entropy towards definable outcomes. That's how fate works. It's like a field. It's a field like gravity, but instead of small towards big, it's pulling unknown towards known.
Wild explanation.
Yeah, I didn't understand it at all when he was explaining it, but the fact that Dan Harmon and Rick Roiland were able to just think of some ridiculous concepts such as that just again just emphasizes the genius of comedy that they can level out.
Yeah, like what is that? Is that peeking your head in string theory? Is that what string theory is? It's like lives in a Mario game, or am I mixing that up with something else? Yeah. Anyway, it's just I love exactly what you're saying, Dave. They are so. Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland are at such a high level.
I said Rick Roiland.
Such a high level of writing and science knowledge. It's and the way that they incorporate it with comedy is absolutely incredible.
That's the thing is like you can tell that they are they're smart people. Like the way they just, even though this is clearly like a comedy show, it's meant to just poke fun at a lot of things. At the end of the day, like the sciencey stuff is a little bit legitimate, at least to someone who, you know, maybe isn't as smart as Rick himself, but it seems like reasonable to me. You know, they put it in such a way that is explainable. And I appreciate them so much. And I just, this episode, this is like one, again, why I love this episode so much. It was just so genius.
And then we got old M. Huxby, the one that puts the fortunes in the cookies.
You're not even going to give him his full name. It's old man Huxby, dude. The M is for man.
Sorry, man.
Got to introduce him all the way through.
Yeah, controlling destiny for a price. Such a cool idea for an episode.
Turns out old M has a little crush on the beast that's dangling above his head.
Yeah, but we can't have sex before marriage. I'm a Christian. Are you sure it'll be consensual? A man knows. And I was like, Jesus Christ, man.
See, again, that dark humor that we hadn't seen in a very long time in Rick and Morty is just full on effect here. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how I felt about old M. Huxby, but, you know, whatever. We'll take him.
I wouldn't also be Tom's. I was going to say, I don't count him as one of those. Remember how last episode it was just me and you, and I was saying, like, we haven't gotten that zany character yet. He doesn't fall into that zany character trope yet.
Absolutely.
Like,
Mr. Nimbus?
No. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Is like, we haven't had like a Mr. Nimbus character, like a Mr. Poopy Butthole character this season, I feel like, yet.
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming, yeah. But Old M. Huxby breaks it down how Fortune 500 monetizes the fortune cookies and expresses his love for the LaGuardian. But then the TED Talk woman comes in with a SWAT team equipped to the gills and Jerry's mom.
That's the ultimate weapon, Weapon X. I also loved how Huxby explains why Jerry got the fortune he did. He was like, dude, I've been trying to marry this alien. I've been trying to get out of here. So I've been putting crazy fortunes in, like, come help me and like help me escape, or you will help someone escape. And nobody was coming to help. So I just started saying, yo, fuck your mom. And all of a sudden, here you are. Like, that was the one that worked.
Also, I don't know if we touched on it, but they explain why there's so many generic fortune cookies in the world. It's they keep putting out generic ones to inflate the value of unique, like, cool ones.
Definitely.
It's genius, man. This show is fucking genius.
Economics.
It's so, fortune cookie economics 101, man. You guys didn't take that in college?
No, sorry.
I probably skipped it.
I was taking real classes.
But I also hate / love that Jerry's mom is like subtly making like sex references the whole time. She's like they came in a limo and like I got in and like it was like
she texted, I need you to pick up the phone.
Yeah. She like slips. She's like, oh, I'm so wet. And I'm like, God.
I was so cringing, but I was laughing so hard. I fucking hated it.
Yeah, the TED Talk woman just like pushes her down a slide or something, and it like
breaks her skirt. Yeah, her underpants rip open. She's like, I'm so wet.
Yeah, Gwyneth, go ahead.
The Gwyneth Paltrow character.
Gwyneth Paltrow, bro.
So I know. I was just saying who she was based off of. And Rick, this is their standoff, you know, going back and forth. And he's like, what's your name? She's like, how dare you? What's your name? And he's like, oh, how dare you? And he's like, that was what he got most offended about. And that's what sets him off.
Oh, my God.
And that cues up and tees up a fucking banger of a punchline later, which Rick actually has like six where he just plants seeds and like, a minute later has another come on the joke, like the sticks to the wall guy.
Yeah, that was so awful. I felt so bad. It's so funny though. But all the guards, they start popping their fortune cookies, of course, and the one guard, I guess, like they're firing at Rick and he takes to cover, but the one guard comes around to get an angle on him. He's like, I only hit headshots. That was my fortune. And like, you see the bullets kind of curving around the table to hit Rick in the head. And like, they drill him, but of course it's Rick, so he's not going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nuts. He got like 12 in the forehead and then it just danced. And he's like, God damn it.
He uses all their powers against them. Like the headshot guy, he gets to headshot all the other SWAT guys. The guy that can't die just gets destroyed in his chest with a Gatling gun.
It doesn't sound nearly as good as it sounds, bro. And he's like, I can feel my shattered ribs, like my lungs.
Oh, and
the
we get
firebender and the waterbender.
Dude, we get the Pokemon reference. He's like, oh, I'm gonna totally Pokemon this shit. Because it's the guy was controlling fire and he was controlling water, but it wasn't controlling like
advantage.
It wasn't how you would think controlling water meant. It meant controlling the water within humans, I guess. And the guy just dehydrated the shit out of the fire guy. It was so funny. It's genius, man. This is such a good fight.
Oh yeah, well, that's going on. Jerry's just running away from his mom. That's where all of his efforts are. And as the SWAT team just dwindles down, it becomes Rick versus TED Talk woman, and TED Talk woman explains her whole plan. It's just like, oh, my fortune was to be the best businesswoman of all time. And Rick takes the air out of her sails by saying, I just hacked Goldman Sachs for trillions of dollars, gave them to you, and then took it right back. So for a millisecond, you were the most successful businesswoman in the world. Fortune done.
Yeah. Mm. And I gave it back. That was awesome. He's like, and I gave it back to Goldman Sachs.
I'm gonna be honest, though. I should have referenced this at the time. But when we first get introduced to Gwyneth, whatever her name is, she's talking about her backstory. And she's like, oh, like I used to eat ramen out of a toilet bowl in my parents' garage. And if you look at that garage, I swear to God, I thought it was Rick's garage. And I was like, no fucking way. This is about to be a different alteration of Rick's daughter, or like of Beth, or like the maybe of the wife or something. I was like, no fucking shot.
That would be crazy.
I don't think that's going to happen anymore. But when I first saw that garage, I was like, there's no fucking way this isn't Rick's daughter or something, you know?
Yeah. right. That's so fucking funny. Right before this happens, though, like the final Goldman Sachs move, he does get glasses, I guess, that one of the agents was wearing. And as soon as he gets those glasses, he can see what everybody's unresolved fortunes are. So he's like, he's popping them out, and then he jumps into a crate and starts eating a bunch. They're all blank. They were like all normal ones. So then he jumps to another crate, and she's like, oh no, not that one. Those are completely unpredictable. And he's like, all right, sweet. So he starts firing them into all the like soldiers' mouths. And there was a bunch of crazy shit, but the one that stood out, obviously, is this: a guy turns into a cyborg T-Rex and goes, I'm the son of God, and then runs through the wall, like out of the building.
Made that like four or something, or like...
No, it's just completely random. Like, he's the cyborg T-Rex thinks he's Jesus.
No explanation whatsoever. And I hope he comes back.
Jerry is also running away from his mom this entire time. Like, this fight's going on, and it's showing Rick killing and like dodging all these shots. And then it shows Jerry just straight up running from his mother. And she's like, save me. And he's doing everything he can not to be near her.
And then the Gwyneth Paltrow knockoff starts just consuming cookies left and right because she's now no longer... her goal has been pretty much tarnished with Rick no longer allowing her to be the immortal.
How good was the, you will regret this, Rick Sanchez? And he's like, ha, you knew my name this whole time. Like, you were just saying that to act cool earlier.
But she does become this monster. I saw the golden hair kind of spiking up, and I was like, are we going to get a Dragon Ball Z reference here? Yeah, but no, it never came true. But she becomes this horrid beast of just randomness. She's got heads popping out of her, and Rick of course is going to go save the
the Ligurian. And Gwyneth Paltrow's reign as a monster was short-lived. I think she makes a ploy to the Ligurian, like, come with me, let's leave, but the Ligurian obviously just like eats her. And I'm not sure if Gwyneth Paltrow opened the black hole or the Ligurian did, but a black hole enters, everybody's getting sucked through, the poor guy that was stuck to the wall just gets like his evaporated.
Like his skin. Oh, I guess we were both wrong. And then everything gets ripped out of him. And he's like, oh God, never mind.
Yeah, I guess it's like his Spider-Man. Like, his skin sticks to it, but everything that's like inside of him still gets pulled out of him. So he's just a shell, literally, at the end of the vacuum going through.
Yeah. But and go ahead.
I was just going to say the big climax, but you got it, Brian.
So that takes us to the big climax of the episode. We got Rick holding on by a thread. I believe he is also holding on to the alien, the Ligurian, like trying to save both. And Jerry is also holding on, but there is his mom being sucked in, pantsless. Well. His pants get sucked into the black hole. It's like, we know where this is going. And Rick is seeing it go down. Jerry is begging him for help. And Rick begrudgingly gets a little gadget out of his upper arm that is able to like engrave a fortune onto a piece of paper. He catches one of the fortune cookies, pops it in, and launches it at Jerry. So Jerry eats a fortune that says, I think it just said, no sex mom.
It says, Jerry, no sex mom. That's all it says.
And Jerry eats it.
Absolutely, absolutely beautiful scene of Jerry with a horrified face and his mother slow motion with both of their genitals blurred out and like, together. Oh my God, it's gonna happen. And that was the life saving, is getting a fortune cookie in his mouth solves everything.
Talk about a huge moment for Rick as a huge, like, just as a person and a family member. And he actually for once saves Jerry rather than just leaving him out to dry. It's unbelievable.
He easily could have let Jerry fuck his mom, but he didn't. And I think in around here somewhere, he like looked at Jerry and he was like, ah, we should have blew up the building. You were right this whole time.
Yep.
We also forgot to mention too, when Rick is going through or like trying to eat those like random fortunes, I think at this point, one of the fortunes did say, you will make a new friend or something like that.
Was that the first fortune that he made? He opened up in Pan Express. That's what I was thinking.
No. There was one I vividly remember. It was during when he's digging through all of the fortunes in the boxes, like he picks up a handful of them, but the fortune that you can read on top says, you will make a new friend today. Okay. So good comeback to play, but just wanted to pencil that in there.
I was a little confused because Rick says, you know, this is my fortune. I was immortal that whole fight. Like, I couldn't have died. So that's why I assumed it was the first one in Panda Express. But
yeah,
you could be right. But anyway, Jerry and their mom both sitting there. Jerry's pantsless. And they're like, all right, let's go home. But we need to get you some clothes. And don't worry, Rick's already on it. And the Sailor Moon reference happens again. And he's like, I can already feel the savings. Because before, when they did it, he was like, yeah, that's a Sailor Moon reference. We'll be able to reuse that anytime anybody needs clothes. Yeah. It was just Fantastic. Absolutely perfect.
Brought it all the way full circle. But that takes us to a very important ending scene back at the house where Jerry and Rick kind of get to reflect on the events of the day. And in my notes, the highlight here is that Jerry and Rick are canonically friends.
Yep.
I think it's official. They are friends. Begrudgingly, Rick can't deny it anymore. It is official.
Mm-hmm. And you got to love it. I mean, this is part of that growth that we've been seeing in this season so much. We've been seeing sprinkles of it over the past few seasons, but it's really drilled home here with the fact that Rick, who his, honestly, to him, his mortal enemy or his arch nemesis would probably be Jerry, because he's just the opposite of everything Rick wants. Like, he never wanted his daughter to marry him. Like, he's a genius. Jerry's not so much. Like, just Jerry is just everything Rick hates in a person. But now this is everything that Rick hates in a person is now his friend, and he'll never admit it. We've already said that a million times. He'll never admit it, but
slaps the shit out of him.
I was cracking up so much.
Jerry starts crying. He starts crying. And you know what? Rick actually apologizes. So maybe they are friends.
Gross. He would have never apologized in season one. Never.
He wouldn't have slapped him ever. I think he would have apologized. That wasn't cool. Rick likes to be cool. Nah, slapping him wasn't cool. That whine, though, he was just like,
But he does hold on to Jerry's thank you note. He puts it right back into his pocket as like a sign, like as a sign of like, okay, he does value this friendship, I think.
I thought it was funny how Rick was like, hey, thanks for saying thank you, but this is a tremendous waste of the final actual real fortune cookie in the world.
Yeah.
And that's the episode. Post-credit scene. I was underwhelmed with the post-credit scene. I would have preferred it to have been the Cyborg T-Rex continuation of that, but they went back to the dumb Jerry eats zebra food gag. And they just went through this like commercial for a human zoo where like all the people are just eating zebra feed and Morty's just like, what is this? What's going on? It's a human zoo. Okay. I understand.
Yeah.
It was just like, what?
It was a good ending credit scene. I thought it was funny that Morty's like, was that supposed to like tell us to eat zebra food? Is it telling us not to eat zebra food? Like, yeah. I like the thought process of like how he's trying to break it all down. But yeah, I think the robot dinosaur would have been a better backstory for sure. End credit scene for sure. But dude, that episode was fucking gold, man. I think this is going to be one of those episodes where I'm like, if I'm like rewatching Rick and Morty, like I'm searching for this episode. Like I can't wait to get to this episode again.
Yeah, it was great.
The conversation definitely made me enjoy it a lot more. I don't know. Episode ratings, guys.
Yeah,
I'll give it
Yeah, I just want to say you did give the last episode, I think, a 7 flat. I think is where you were at. So it's got to be, I don't know. For me, I'll go. So I gave the last episode, I think, a 6.5, 7 in that range. Dude, I'm going to go 8. I'll just give it a hard 8. I was going to say 8.5, but that feels a little high because definitely on last season, there were 9s and 10s being dished out left and right. So I'm going to be a little bit more realistic here. I'll give it like an 8. I'll give it an 8.
Yeah, I'm right there. I'll give it an 8 too. I thought it was hysterical. Great rewatch value.
7.5.
I'll take
it. Hate the decimal system, but 7.5. I'll go against my gut.
Yeah, because otherwise you would have been stuck at it being an 8, which is a pretty good score for an episode, or you're stuck at it being as good as the last episode.
Was better than Night Family.
Exactly.
I will say that, yes, but I think I fell into the trap that you just described. I don't want to be dishing out 8s, 9s, and 10.
Yeah.
Thank Andy.
Paul, I want to ask you these questions since you weren't here on the last episode, but I just wanted some, I asked B-Toms just for thoughts going to the next for the rest of the season. The first question I had asked him was, do you think the portal gun is going to be fixed this season? So I want to see what your answer is to that.
I could see them fixing it on 9 and like setting it up for a crazy finale on 10, or just, you know, fix Egon on 10. But yeah, I feel like the portal gun has got to be back by next season.
Okay. And then our other, I guess this one's not as relevant anymore, but this one's relevant for us, B-Toms, is I had asked you, when do you think Villain Rick will come back? You said it would probably be 9 or 10, one of those episodes. And I said, to keep things spicy, I'll guess 5 and 6, just as the midpoint episode. Didn't get Villain Rick, but there's still hope for next episode potentially. But now I'm falling more into the train that I think he's going to appear 9 and 10. Paul, I don't know if you think Villain Rick will come back this season, or if it will, if he does, would it be 9 and 10?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I could see him coming back, not this season. I could see him coming back later on, and we could get like the finale, like the weird setup where Jerry was with a talking cat the entire episode, and then Rick reads the cat's minds, and then they see it and they puke, and Rick like erases Jerry's mind because he doesn't want him to bear that burden. I've been waiting for that conclusion to come, so maybe that'll be the
finale.
We're gonna get it,
Paul. I still have hopes for that, but wow, this was such a great episode, man. I'm so happy with how it turned out.
I enjoyed it.
Take us home.
I agree. Yeah.
I'm not doing the outro.
Dave's not doing the outro. That means I'm doing the outro. That is a wrap on our season 6, episode 5, final desmithation. I think I said that right.
No.
Yeah, good episode. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed the conversation, and we are just ready to keep chugging along in this season. It's been a good one so far. And as always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Visit us on bingetowntv.com and subscribe to our show on Spotify, YouTube, the Apple Podcast app, or wherever else you may find your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV. And thanks for listening.
Joe Maine.
Yeah.
Ciao. Good Maine. One.
Yeah, that was a good
one. Nice.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.